Hello everybody, this is Jim Culling speaking to you from the Vicarage on Maundy Thursday. It's a lovely sunny day and like you, I'm probably deeply sorry that we won't be able, as we have done in the last few years, to meet with our friends from Bexley Christian Life Centre for our Passover or Maundy Thursday evening service and informal meal together. And just thought I'd share a reflection on one of the passages that is set for today, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. I'm going to read it now. Apostle Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Do you have any family traditions that have been handed down through the generations? I guess it could be a favourite recipe or a way of celebrating birthdays or other significant milestones. It may be that the restrictions brought about by the COVID-19 pandemic have meant that you have had to abandon for this season a tradition or two, or find a new way of doing them. But for some of you, that may have been disappointing and unsettling, as so much in this worrying time has been. Familiar habits have had to be put on hold, and that lack of regular routine has left many feeling lost and rootless. Easter is, of course, a time of tradition. For us as a church, as I mentioned, we've had the tradition of eating together in some form or other on Maundy Thursday evening, followed by the March of Witness on Good Friday morning. Both of those events we have undertaken with brothers and sisters and other churches in Bexley Heath, and I'm feeling especially keenly the loss of being able to express our common faith and hope in Jesus with our church traditions this year. The handing down of traditions from generation to generation is of huge significance in Jewish culture, and the greatest of those traditions relate to the Passover, the yearly festival to remember the rescue of God's people from slavery in Egypt, the plague upon the firstborn which devastates Egypt, but from which God's people are spared because they have marked their doorframes with the blood of the sacrificial Passover lamb. In this letter of the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth, he reminds them of a tradition which has been handed down to them. As Paul planted the Corinthian church, he would have instructed them in it. But this is not something Paul has invented. That is made clear. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." And the Greek of verses 22 to 5 are simpler than the Greek Paul uses. This formula is almost certainly one that has been preserved and passed down by the apostles who were actually in the upper room with Jesus that night before he died, and so transmitted to all churches. Paul makes a play on words of this formula, which is not immediately apparent in the translation we're using. The word he uses for "passed on to you" is exactly the same word it is used to describe the betrayal of Jesus. They both mean literally "handed over." Handed over to you. Jesus handed over to his accusers. Paul does that to emphasise that the tradition he's passing on is all about the betrayal, arrest and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is it that Paul is passing on? It is what Jesus does in the midst of a Passover meal, whose structure and liturgy, the Haggadah as it is termed, had itself been passed down throughout the generations and is still used by Jewish people today. Let's look at how Jesus does it. He takes bread, firstly, and gives thanks. Now that looks a bit like saying grace, which some of us might do at meal times anyway. We might think of blessing a bread to make it holy, but actually the Jewish way of blessing and giving thanks doesn't work like that. You bless God for his goodness. Jews do that at every meal because every meal is sacred and holy. The grace Jesus said would have used these or similar words: "Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who sustaineth the whole world. He giveth bread to all flesh." And so the God they were blessing is actually physically present in the room with them as the prayer is said. And we think of Jesus' words, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger." The Haggadah goes on to say, "This is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt." And now Jesus will do something very different with the familiar words of Passover. He will place himself in the middle of it as the one through whom Israel is redeemed. "This is my body for you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood." And Jesus commands the disciples unequivocally to make these new words a new tradition, to reinterpret the Passover for all of the generations to come until the end of time when Jesus returns. "Do this in my memory." And Paul makes clear that what we are doing in this ritual is to proclaim the death of Jesus, his betrayal, suffering and death. The events that unfold over Good Friday are themselves the substance of what we remember. Jesus' death is the Passover sacrifice that brings us and all God's people redemption, rescues us from sin, death and the devil by shedding his blood in our place, satisfying God's justice, but in love paying that price himself. Remembering has to be active. Let me explain that by another biblical phrase. Remember the poor. It does not mean saying to ourselves from time to time, "Oh yes, some people are poor." Of course not. Remembering the poor means doing something to help them. The act of remembering brings about action. So when we're called to share bread and wine to remember Jesus, it has to be active. As we think upon his sacrifice, so should our attitudes be changed. Attitudes to our own life and priorities. We know that we've been bought at a great price, but not out of our own merits. So there is place for neither self-loathing nor pride. Our attitude to other people is changed as we remember Jesus loves them and died for them. Remember that Jesus' selfless sacrifice gives us the pattern to serve others. So it is of course sad that we can't actually do this tonight. We can't actually take bread and wine in Jesus' memory. Maybe as we share meals over the next few days, we can think a little bit about this. And although it won't be the Lord's Supper, because we're not gathered as church, you can at least take the time to thank God for his goodness and to remember Jesus as you eat and drink. But it is good to pass on traditions, isn't it? Traditions remind us that we aren't the first generation to walk on this earth. They keep us humble, remembering that we stand on the foundations of those who have gone before us, who have shaped our nation and culture. In a world where we rush to embrace the latest craze and innovation, taking intentional steps to bring the past into the present is more important than ever. But what I most want to pass on to the next generation is not a recipe, nor a quirky custom, nor a special family word for something. What I want to pass on to the generations to come is exactly what was passed on to Paul and what he in turn passed on to the churches he planted and pastored. The good news that there is a rescuer, Jesus Christ, who bled and died for us, gave up himself for us to set us free to worship our great God and live our lives for him. Because that good news doesn't just root us in history, it guarantees our transformed future. It may be that good news is something that you're hearing for the first time right now, or at least maybe understanding for the first time. Maybe you now understood that Jesus died for you, that he is your rescuer, that all your sin can be laid upon him, and he can set you free just as he set his people free from Egypt. If you're feeling that right now, please do get in touch. Drop me an email or a text or give me a ring. I'll pray with you and you can start your first steps this Easter as a follower of Jesus. If you're already a follower of Jesus, I will be sharing some ideas over the next couple of days, how we can share Easter with others, how we can proclaim the hope that we have in Jesus, proclaim his death and resurrection until he returns. So may God's blessing go with you this Maundy Thursday and over this rather different Easter weekend. My prayer for you is that the truths that underlie this special time of year will be more real than ever, despite what we're going through. Amen.